Today, on Commitment to Truth.
To be ready to give is to be fully fearful and understand that everything belongs to God. You know, after we come to realization that everything that we contain, we give it back to God, is that you are now willing to let God use everything given however He chooses. It's a sign of submission. It's simply saying, God, this is yours.
Welcome to Commitment to Truth, the teaching ministry of Commitment Church, a place for all nations. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. Each week, Pastor Cedric Brown and the pastoral team at Commitment Church strive to draw you into a deeper relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here is Pastor Cedric, lead pastor of Commitment Church, with today's message.
So before I pray, I just want to share something that Larry, you don't know I'm about to share this, but Larry was supposed to go on a missions trip, right? And we were just talking about this before the service started. And he is not able to go because the network of churches that we're part of rely on funding from churches to supply so that those who is a part of our Reach National, Reach Global can go do ministry. Well, the trip was canceled. You know why? No funding. We're part of 1,600 churches. We, in our district, we have 150, which I've been blessed to be the district superintendent of. Trip canceled because no money. That, honestly, that news couldn't come at a better time. In other words, for us to feel it, touch it, think about it tangibly, that here's one of our brothers who committed to help other pastors learn the scriptures and that they may teach their congregations to learn the scriptures, trip canceled because there wasn't enough resources. Make sense? So that's the realism of it. Gospel cannot go forward without your generosity. Make sense? And again, as you know, here at this church, we're not going to beat you over the head and make you do anything. But we know what the scriptures teach us, and we have to do what he commands us to do. Make sense? So my hope is that you're learning a bit about that generosity is not merely just bringing your offering, but it's a preparation and readiness of the heart. And even we're going to learn more about what else should we do to be ready for generosity. All right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the finished work of Jesus, because you do leave the 99 to come after us. Matter of fact, everyone in this room today and everyone under the sound of my voice have been pursued by you. Your word says in the scriptures that no one comes to the Father unless he draws them. It is the kindness of God that draws man to repentance. You have wooed us and drawn us here today. Spirit of God, I pray that you will now help me help your people. Help us to remove all the hindrances and the barriers and the cares of the world that would try to come to snatch the word of God and choke it. But Lord, today we pray for good soil, that the seed of the word of God will fall on good ground and bear much fruit. So Spirit of God, please come. And please do what you do first in me so I can help your people, and do what you do in their hearts to receive from you today. In Jesus' name, amen. So a question I like to open up with today is this, and it is very simple. Are you ready to be generous? Are you ready to be generous? And how do you know if you are ready to be generous? In an article in 2008, Christianity Today, titled it, Scrooge Lives. It states, more than one out of four American Protestants, these are non-Catholics, give away no money at all, not even a token of $5 per year, says sociologist Christian Smith, Michael Emerson, and Patricia Snell in a new study of Christian giving. So I guess the other follow-up question is this, is why is this so? Could it be that this data further explains Matthew 6:21, which we've read last week, which is, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In the word, in this portion of scripture, the word heart is from the Greek word cardia, or where we get cardiac, cardia. Thus, the heart is regarded as the center of all physical and spiritual life. The heart of the tree, the heart of the matter, right? We use that terminology. It also means the soul or mind, as it is the fountain and seat of thoughts, passions, desires, appetites, affections, purposes, endeavors. It is the fountain and seat of the will and character. So wherever that is, that's where your treasures will be. If you're passionate about something, that's where your treasures will be. If you desire something, that's where your treasures will be. If your appetite is there, your affection, your purpose in life, I'm purposing to retire with this amount of money in my bank account, that's where your treasure will go. I'm purposing to be an investor and to make sure I'm set up for my future, that's where your treasure will go. It's our soul and our mind, if you would, interchangeably being fixated on that, that immaterial of us, part of us, that no one sees but God. That's where our treasure will be. Listen, you can have a passion about animals. Well, that's where your treasure will go. It's just the inclination, the sinful inclination that we all possess, is that what I'm passionate about, what I'm purposeful about, what I want to get done, right? Even what I'm fearful about, which directs my passions, my thoughts, right? That's exactly where it's going to go. Got to save for a rainy day, right? Fear. And how many rainy days are you saving for? So then, how do we know if this part of us, this immaterial part of us, is ready to be generous? So if we can open our Bibles again to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And we're going to be in verses 11 through 15 today. But again, for context's sake, I'm going to back up to read verse 1 all the way through, okay? It says, "Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God, which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality." Remember, we said the word grace here is not the grace to be saved, right? It's, you know, by grace you've been saved, but it's grace, and it's specifically attaching itself to wealth and generosity and giving of your finances to the work of the ministry. And remember, the other context is important to understand is that things really weren't going well with the church. It wasn't the best case scenario and our time or season to be generous, right? They were going through affliction and they were in deep poverty, but yet they somehow found a way to be what? Generous. Verse 3, it says, "For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging." This always astonishes me. "That they were begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. And this, not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. So we urged Titus that as he had previously made a beginning, so he would also complete in you this gracious work as well." Verse 7, it says, "But just as you abound in everything, in faith and utterances and knowledge and in all earnestness and in the love we have inspired in you, see that you abound in this gracious work also." In other words, you're doing all these good stuff, good thing, but don't forget to be generous. It says, "I am not speaking this as a command, but as proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity of your love also. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." Thinking of others, right? Verse 10, "I give my own opinion in this matter, for this is to your advantage, who were the first to begin a year ago, not only to do this, but also to desire to do it. But now finish doing it also, so that just as there was the readiness to desire it, so there may be also the completion of it by your ability. For if the readiness is present, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. For this is not for the ease of others, and we're going to get into this, it's not for the ease of others and for your affliction, but by the way of equality. At this present time, your abundance being a supply for their need, so that their abundance also may become a supply for your need. It becomes reciprocal. You hear that? That there may be equality. Everybody is taken care of. As it is written, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little had no lack. How then do you know if your heart is ready for generosity? Here's the first. You can find this in verse 11 in the first part of verse 12. You are ready to return all that you contain back to God. Everything that I own on this side of heaven, everything that I possess on this side of heaven, everything that will be added unto me, everything that I would inherit years from now, God, I give it all back to you. It says, for the readiness is present. The word present means this, to be before the mind of someone. In other words, if you're not thinking about generosity, you're not going to be generous. Or you can say, if your mind, remember we said, part of the description of the heart is your mind. If your mind is on something other than the kingdom, you just won't be generous. The other word is, first part of the definition of the word readiness, it means to give over into one's care and charge. And this is probably the biggest dilemma in the body of Christ, is that logically, intellectually, physically, I'm doing the work, right? I'm getting money deposited into my account, if you have direct deposit. I'm picking up the check. I'm cashing the check. You follow me? Everything has my fingerprints on it. So to think about and to shift your mind and your heart and, you know, towards, well, wait a minute, it's in my care. I'm the one, right, paying the bills. I'm the one writing the checks, if you write checks still. You know, I'm the one who pays electronically, right? I'm the one whose name is on the account. How then do I give it over to his charge? You see, these words clearly define that it must be in the forefront of our minds to give God charge of our wealth. It has to be something that has to become the first thing we think of, rather than a secondary thought. Right. Remember, I share with you, you know, putting our tithes and our offerings and our generosity as a line item in our budget. If it's not a line item in your budget, you're going to forget about it. Well, first of all, if you don't have a budget, you're going to forget about it. Psalm 24, verse 1 reminds us that everything is the Lord's. It says, the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. Where we're located, where are we located? So we're part of what the earth contains. So God owns us, therefore he owns everything that we own. All right? So the earth is the Lord's, all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it, just in case. But here's our challenge. Our challenge is that there are consequences when we withhold from God. Here's an example in Acts chapter 4, verse 34 through chapter 5, verse 11. For there was not a needy person among them. Keep in mind, this is after the gospel went forward. Peter preached this fantastic message. Thousands came to know the Lord. They began to share their wealth among them. No one had a need. For all who were owners of land or houses will sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet. And they will be distributing to each as any had need. And Joseph, a Levite, a Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translates son of encouragement, and who owned a tract of land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a certain man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself with his wife's full knowledge. And bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart, this word heart again, to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And as he heard these words, Ananias fell and breathed his last. And great fear came upon all who heard it. And the young man rose and covered him. And after carrying him out, they buried him. Now there were elapsed an interval of about 3 hours. And then his wife came in, not knowing what happened. Guilty by association, just to say that. And Peter responded to her, tell me whether you sold the land for such and such price. And she said, yes, that was the price. Then Peter said to her, why is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they should carry you out as well. And she fell immediately at his feet, breathed her last, and the young men came in and found her dead. And they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear, reverence, this is so beautiful. This word, reverence, you know what it means? Reverence for one husband. Who's the husband of the church? Jesus. And great reverence for the husband of the church, you can say, came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. So, here's the deal. If you're married, have the hard conversations. Because chances are, one is on one page, the other is on the other page. One is saying, hey, we need to. Some are saying, I don't know if we can. Have the conversation. Because you're guilty by association. Just as simple as that. But is there, think about this, church, is there really this kind of fear in the church today? Let me give you some more recent data. In 2021, only 13% of evangelicals give anything close to tithing. 8% of household incomes. And almost 1 in 5, 90%, give nothing at all. In 2024, the Christian Post wrote this. The average evangelical donates 2.8% of their household income to churches, down from 3.2% in 2021. The average evangelical adult donates 3.3% of their household income between church and charity, compared to 4% in 2021. The Christian Post continues. Evangelicals gave an average of $2,503 to churches in the previous 12 months. That's for the entire year. Just extrapolate that. 2,500 divided by 12. According to the response, okay, it says that marks a 15% decline from the inflation-adjusted average of $2,953 in 2021. So the trend is actually getting worse. You see, reality is this: to be ready to give is to be fully fearful and understand that everything belongs to God. Let's stay with verse 12 a little bit for our second point. You know, after we come to realization that everything that we contain, we give it back to God, is that you are now willing to let God use everything given however he chooses. Readiness here also means to lay it at one's feet. It's a sign of submission. It's a sign of reverence. It's simply saying, God, this is yours. Look back at Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. It says, but a certain man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property and kept it back some of the price for himself with his wife's full knowledge, and bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. The words kept back means this: to set apart for oneself, to withdraw covertly and appropriate to one's own use. It's kind of like I give part of it, but I'm going to keep this. You see, even if you take 10%, give it to God, he still owns 90. So there should still be a conversation with God to say, okay, God, how do you want me to use the 90? One just doesn't blow the 90 however they choose, because it still belongs to God. All of it belongs to God. 10, 90, 50, 50, whatever. It all still all belongs to him. You see, when you give generously, you give and you just don't hold back anything for your own use. Even I'm trying my best to help you wrap your head and hearts around that nothing belongs to you. And the quicker you can arrive to that destination, the quicker things will settle for you financially, because you will not be controlled by it any longer. So when you have ebbs and flow in your finances, you will never have ebbs and flows in your heart, because your heart is fixed on him. Not the economy, right? Because you get Christians panic like, oh, the news is saying this. Okay, and we start hoarding. Well, I better save up for a rainy day because I may lose my job. I may, well, who's the master of your job? Something's twisted there. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He owns everything. And it should be recognized that way, that he owns it all. And my humble opinion is you see the scriptures over and over again, and you live life long enough, is that when you start taking back what belongs to God, then he proves that he's in charge. Something jumps off, and then there's this recalibration of the heart that occurs. Oh, God, forgive me. Oh, God, I can't believe it. Oh, God, help me. Right? A recalibration of the heart. But why does a heart need to be recalibrated over and over again? When you're generous, it keeps your heart where your heart should remain. When you give generously, you give and you don't hold back anything for your own use, because all of it is his. Return all you contain back to God. Give everything away for God to use however he chooses. Number three, we find in verse, latter part of verse 12 into verse 13. This then leads to that you're ready to give your acceptable portion. In other words, there's something that God looks at in secret and says, that is acceptable for you. That's unacceptable for you. You follow me? In other words, no one should be comparing their giving and generosity. It's like, no, this is acceptable for our household. This is acceptable for someone else's household. But remember, the tithe, the tenth, and if you do research on the tenth, the tithe is actually more than a tenth. Because there were other levels of generosity that was required by the children of Israel. That he says, do this, but then there are also, in this season, you also give another tenth. In this season, you give a third. In this, so it was way more than 10%, which I believe even Old Testament, God was trying to show the people that, no, you own nothing. Because that's what he said to them when they were entering the promised land. I'm giving you this land, not because you were this great people, but because you were the least. That I'm giving you wells that you did not dig. I'm giving you houses that you did not build. And he says, when you enter this land, don't you forget it. And if you forget it, you know what his promise was? I'm going to take it away. And what happens to us today? We forget it. And before you know it, your bank account gets a little. Because we forget. Give your acceptable portion. The word acceptable here means this. You're favorable. A sense of what is pleasing. Based upon what you have, such as wealth, or not have, meaning poverty. In other words, there's income variations and wealth variations in every church. Give, no matter where you are, because seasons change. What is pleasing to God? I can't tell you so many times that I'm about, because I use our electronic giving. I'm about to give, and the Lord says, well, not that number this week. And this is a gut check with me and a heart check with me. Let's say God is starting me out at 400. But in my mind, I'm like, no, but I want to go 375. You ever been there? It's like, you know, he said 400 or 100, but you're like, oh, well, maybe 75. Right? We start negotiating with God. Okay, well, he's telling me 25. And you're like, oh, okay, well, 10. You know, and we just, and I'm no different than you. You got to talk yourself into, can you outgive God? I mean, $25 difference? What's, right? That's 2 days at Starbucks. maybe one day for some people. You know, you buy some Danishes and some you know, veggie omelet bites, which I like, you know. Right? And so it's, we can't outgive them. So in my mind, I've wrestled with just defer to the best. Just defer to the best. Is God going to get mad at me because I defer to the best? Would it please God if I defer to the best or defer to the least? Verse 13 gives us a couple of key words. It says, for this is not for the ease of others. And this is super important. Not for the ease means this, not to be freed from bonds, not for others may be free from their duty of contributing financially. In other words, one shouldn't feel so pressured to give because, oh, I got a cover for somebody else. Totally inappropriate. And trust me, and Elder Mark can tell you this as well, God had to teach us this. Because in certain seasons of the ministry, we just said, okay, we're going to give more. And you know what God did? Disrupted our finances. I can't tell you how many times Lisa and I have got to a place where it's like, we didn't supposed to give. Because it was covering up for someone else's sin. We were already giving generously, but it's like, okay, we'll do more. Now, there's some who God will say that, but in our case, it's because we have no problem with generosity. Matter of fact, I'll do it for free. If my wife will let me. But there's times that we have to check each other and say, hey, is God really telling us to help that person? Or are you trying to teach that person something? We give what God is telling us to give to do your part. And therefore, the other key word is equality that emerges here. It is mentioned twice within these verses. But by the way of equality, again, means equal portion. That there's this, if you would, order that God gives. You seek him. He tells you what you should be giving. Baseline, 10%. Right? And then from that, there's this understanding that I'm not going to give to cover for someone else. Everyone should be giving their portion.
Hello, my name is Sarah Vega, and I am the Administrative and Executive Director here at Commitment Church. I hope you've enjoyed today's message by Pastor Cedric Brown. If you didn't know, Pastor Cedric also sends out encouraging videos weekly. We call these the Weekly Wire. The acronym WIRE means Weekly Inspiration, Refreshment, and Encouragement. We can send these encouraging videos directly to you by subscribing at www.loveallnations.org. Again, that's www.loveallnations.org. Here's an example of the encouragement you'll receive.
Are you going through a test today? Are you going through a trial or some situation in your home, in your family, in your life? Does it seem as though that your life is just crumbling all around you and the ground on which you stand is shifting, right? Well, there's a Bible verse that says this: you have tested me and you have tried me and you have found nothing. I believe what God allows us all to go through and live long enough, you're going to go through something that seems to rock your world. Please know that it could be a test that is making you more like Jesus Christ. But the goal in the test is that as you go through the sifting and the turbulence of life, what will he find? Will he find nothing, or will he find less of you and more of Jesus? So the next time you feel like quitting in the midst of the test, in the midst of the exam, understand he is trying to sift you and to make sure that there's no more of Cedric in me, but more in all of Jesus in me and in you.
We hope you enjoyed this sample of our Weekly Wire. Again, to subscribe to your weekly inspiration, refreshment, and encouragement, please visit www.loveallnations.org. Again, that's www.loveallnations.org.
Thank you for listening to Commitment to Truth, a teaching ministry of Commitment Church, a place for all nations. If you want to listen to the previous messages in this series, or if you want to hear messages from other series, visit Commitment Church on YouTube or Pastor Cedric Brown on Spotify, Pandora, or other podcast providers. You can also visit us on our website, commitmentchurch.org. And if you live in the Philadelphia, Delaware, or South Jersey area, we would love to see you in person as well. You can attend any of our services by visiting us at 2 Berlin Road South, Lindenwald, New Jersey, 08021. Thank you again for listening, and have a blessed and wonderful day.